Welcome, Hog fans, into the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton from Whole Hog Sports. I'm joined here with Scotty Bordelon from Whole Hog Sports. Mike Anderson just finished up his Thursday press conference to preview Arkansas's road trip down to Baton Rouge to take on the Tigers of LSU. But we'll get to that in a minute. First, we'd like to talk a little bit about Arkansas's win over Georgia. Wins have been kind of hard to come by lately. Hogs picked up a W against Tom Crean's new team, 70-60. Didn't start off very good once again.
No, I mean, the slow starts have kind of plagued them a little bit, mm-hmm. or maybe a little bit's being really kind. Like, I think the last five games they've fallen behind really, really quick, yeah. really quickly. I think 23-6 at Tennessee, and it was the same deal. Like, Missouri, I think, got up 11-2. So did Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I think the last five games they've started off slow and kind of dug themselves a hole. But they climbed out of it the last two home games.
Yeah.
So that was good to see. They really needed those wins. And, I mean, you were going to do anything to try to snap a four-game losing streak. And thank goodness Missouri was on the schedule that night. I think if they start that poorly, probably against any other teams other than Missouri and Georgia, that's probably two more home losses, I would imagine.
Yeah, and you're right. They did dig out of it, but – you know, when they did it against Missouri, I'm thinking, man, Arkansas is about to lose five games in a row. And then they came back and won. And then, yeah, on Tuesday, I'm thinking, when Georgia got up, Georgia's not good this year. Georgia's a bad basketball team this year. Mm-hmm. When they got up 11-2, I'm thinking, man, here we go again.
They just looked flat. They looked really flat. And Mike, you know, before I get to that, I wrote on the slow starts Tuesday night. And here's a little quick rundown. Tennessee, they were behind 23-6 after 8 minutes. Ole Miss, they trailed 11-2 after 5 minutes. Missouri was worse than I remembered. They were down 13 after 10 minutes. Texas Tech, they were down 8 after 6.5, and then down 11-2 to Georgia after 4.5. Mm,
slow starts.
Yep.
I made the comment earlier today. It's like, it feels like, you know, we go to all the home games. I watch the home games a lot more closely than I do the road games. But it just seems like every time they get out there, they're having to relearn how to play with each other. Mm-hmm. And it just seems, in the first, usually first 8-10 minutes of the first half, it seems like it's, you know, the first game of the season or something. They just can't buy a bucket. They go on these long scoring droughts. They make questionable shots. Guys that you don't really want to be taking certain shots or you know, jacking them up.
Like the first shot of the game against Georgia?
Yeah.
Jalen Harris, 17-footer. It's not a good way to start. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the ball was even swung around the perimeter once. There was no dump into Dan for a kick out, or there was no inside out. It was just Jalen deciding he was going to take his guy off the dribble going left, which he does a lot, and I think teams are starting to figure that out a little. Mm-hmm. That's not the shot you want. I think the one shot that they did hit in that first 4.5 minutes was a long two from Adria, which I don't know that you necessarily wanted that either, but you got it to go, so you have to be grateful, I guess, for that. But just the shot selection on this team, like, I want to get into it a little bit later because I'm writing about just kind of the three-point shooting, and then the guards just aren't shooting the ball well right now. And I'm not going to try to pick on Keyshawn and Desi, but they've got to start making more shots. But, I mean, that's just a thing. All around, everybody's got to make more shots. Dan has to get more touches, I think. Mason had a good game the other night. Won the student some free chicken, so he was pretty proud of that. He was the hero. From Tuesday.
And like you said, you know, you have certain players that you don't want to be taking those shots. I feel like Arkansas has just too many guys on the team right now that when they take one of those shots, you're thinking, why did you do that? And even so, it happened the other night on press row. I think it was when Gabe took a three. Me and Dudley are like, what are you doing? And then it went in. You're like, well,
it hit every single part of the rim. And I mean, when that ball came down, like his shot hit the back of the iron and then bounced up, hit the national championship banner, came back down, hit the rim a couple more times and fell in. That was his only three he made all month.
I think it bounced off a janitor too. When it
hit a custodian.
Yeah. So yeah, there's just guys like Adrio. I mean, Jalen Harris. You showed me some figures earlier. He's shooting like 18% from.
Yeah,
from
let me go over this.
There's too many guys.
You're
right
being
now
polite just, saying 18%. Yeah. So in the month of January, Jalen Harris was 3 for 18 from three, 16.7%. And think about this before we get to the other guys. Think about this. One of those threes was the runner at the end of the first half at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So outside of that, 2 for 17.
Yikes.
Then we'll go to Keyshawn Embry-Simpson and Desi Sills. I said I was going to write about them a little bit later. Keyshawn was 4 for 22, 18.2%. And one of his threes was the one that he missed so bad that it went in.
Right.
Again, I think it was against Missouri, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah. He banked it in. So other than that, he's 3 for 21. Again, not good. And Desi was 4 for 14, 28.6% in January. And the thing, one of the reasons I'm kind of writing on Keyshawn and Desi is Arkansas is starting to get a little bit better production from its bench bigs. But the guards are just, they're kind of falling behind.
Yeah.
And I think that's putting a little bit more on Mason and Jalen and Isaiah to figure out, hey, I think it's in their mind that, hey, we have to go get it. We have to go get it. Because when Desi and Keyshawn come in, I mean, you just heard the numbers. I said, like, they're not making shots.
Huge drop off from scoring.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you could get the bench guards to come in and give you, like, they're playing well defensively, I think. Keyshawn's been a plus defensively, and Desi had one good game in conference. I think he scored 8 points, but that was like 3 or 4 games after he scored, 14 against Texas A&M?
Yeah.
So since the first half against Texas A&M, when Desi scored 13 on 5 of 7 shooting, he's 5 of 21 from the floor since. Mm. And I think you have to get him going, and you got to get Keyshawn going a little bit too, and that would take a little bit of pressure off of Mason and Isaiah, and it might, like, if they're making shots, it might, Jalen Harris might not have to take so many shots.
Yeah.
So I think it could, I mean, it's an all around plus, I think.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. Those guys missing so many threes, just shooting so poorly from three. Arkansas is not a good rebounding team, and a lot of those missed threes, the vast majority, our defensive rebounds, that's really no better than a turnover. And, I mean, if these guys are going to shoot that poorly, maybe try something different. Maybe try to get the ball inside better, drive a little bit, just quit settling for all these threes if you're going to miss them, because it's effectively a turnover every time they miss a three.
Right. My AAU coach used to say that guards who miss free throws, those are as good as turnovers. As guards ought to make free throws. But these, like, I feel like anytime a guy misses an open shot, that's also a turnover, because I mean you're wide open, man. Just knock it down. Like, you've been doing it your whole life. I feel like I don't get why those shots aren't falling for those guys. But Keyshawn, you know, he had a couple of games. I think it was Colorado State. He had kind of a breakout game. We thought was going to be a breakout game. I think he hit 4 out of 5 from three, and then he goes on a run where he misses his next 3 threes, and then he missed his next 8 threes. Hold on, I'm all turned around here. So he hit 4 out of 5 at Colorado State, went 0 for 2 the next 3 games, and didn't take one against Texas State. And then he was kind of big in the Austin Peay game where he hit 2. And then after that, I mean, he opened SEC play 1 for 13 from 3.
Wow.
And you got to get a little bit more from him. And today at the press conference, I wanted to ask Mike. I said, there's a lot of talk about how this team's going to continue to grow throughout the year, and now these guys are through their first month in SEC play. February's the month where Mike has always said, like, throughout January we heard Mike talk about this is going to be a different team in February than it is right now, or even in December. So I asked him if February was the time of the year when those two guys, Desi and Keyshawn, were going to settle in a little bit more offensively and start to see some of their shots fall. And he said he hopes so. Yeah. He hopes so. And he's like, he said exactly what I just said a minute ago. They're getting open shots, they're just not making them.
Yeah.
And that's not good. It's not great.
No, and I guess when your shots aren't falling, let's look at the stats a little bit. So field goal percentage from the Georgia game, Arkansas shot 41% for the game. They shot 23.8% from three. So their shots aren't falling. What they can do, even if their shots aren't falling, what they can do is play tenacious defense. And that's what we have been seeing in the past couple wins and even against Texas Tech.
Right.
If you can't make shots, at least play as hard as you can on defense. And that's, I think, a change in a positive direction that we have seen. They're playing a lot tougher defense. They're forcing more turnovers. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can do whether your shots are falling or not.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
the identity of this team, I think, or what it's got to be. Like, they've got to be really good defensively because they've been, I've called them fairly average. They're below average, if we want to be honest. Like, they're 10th in the league in offensive efficiency. Like, they're averaging like 98 points per 100 possessions, which that's not good at all. And the thing is, it may be why it looks so bad, is because they're second in the league in possessions per game. So you're not scoring at a high clip, but you're still playing at a pretty good pace. So you're getting more shots up, but it means you're also missing more, I think. And 3-point shooting hasn't been good. Interesting thing is, I think Saturday, what could play into Arkansas's hands a little bit, like if they can limit Tremont Waters, which I don't like, he had 36 last night at Texas A&M, but if you can limit him and communicate and rotate right and get out to shooters at LSU, I think you got a chance because LSU plays the fastest pace in the league. So they're going to want to get up and down too. Arkansas wants to get up and down. It's not going to be one of those games where I think it's going to be in the 60s. I don't think it's going to be one of those games. Arkansas has played a lot of those lately, in part because they can't score, but also because they're defending really well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if this team keeps winning games, it's probably going to be ugly, I think, because they're trying to muck it up on the defensive end and get blocked shots. Like, they blocked 14 the other night against Georgia, which is an SEC record since Arkansas joined the SEC. And then the other two games, they forced a ton of turnovers, like 45 in two games.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's going to be tough. Saturday's going to be really tough.
Yeah, I'm not going to predict a win against LSU. I've actually, you know, the past couple predictions that I have made, Arkansas got a lot closer. I think I predicted them to lose to Tennessee by 30, and they ended up losing by, like, what, 19?
Yeah, you take out garbage time, you were right.
Yeah. And then I thought they were going to get smoked by Texas Tech. I was surprised how well they played. I know, obviously, they lost the game.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pat them on the back too much, but I was surprised that they kept it that close and they had a chance to win.
They forced a lot of turnovers in that game, but any time that Texas Tech didn't turn the ball over, it was like every shot they took went in.
Yeah.
Like they shot better than 50%, I think, in that game. So everything, it seemed like everything that they were throwing up went in when they didn't turn the ball over.
Right, especially in that second half.
Mm-hmm. They started the second half like, I think, 5 for 5 from the floor, and basically – 10 seconds into the second half, that Jalen Harris three at the buzzer gets negated because you leave the best player on Texas Tech's team open in the corner for three. Mm-hmm. They went zone instead of continuing to do defensively what worked in the first half and going man. They went zone to start the second half, left him open, and then they hit four straight shots after that, and then they missed three straight, and then a couple of their guards hit three straight threes. And then they just kind of take control, and they had to battle back late, and they did. So props to them for battling back, but it's just those lapses, like those minute and a half, 2 minute, 3 minute lapses that can kill you, especially when you're playing a top 15 team on the road. So
yeah, Texas Tech's no slouch. LSU is, they've what, won 10 games in a row?
10 in a row.
That's incredible. Will Wade's doing a great job down there.
They haven't lost it since December 12th. They lost to Houston by 6. That was their last loss. So they've run off 10 in a row, and they look really good. I think Kentucky and LSU, I think, are probably your best teams in the league right now.
Or Tennessee.
In Tennessee, yeah. How did I forget Tennessee? Gosh, we need to restart the podcast. Let me start over. Tennessee, LSU, and Kentucky, I think, are the front runners right now. But I think Tennessee's on a different plane of existence. Like, they're so good.
Yeah.
I think Dudley retweeted Wes Rucker, who covers Tennessee, I think, for 24/7. I could be wrong, but he's just called them machines. Like, they just go on the road and they just beat people to sleep on their own floor, which is, it's really impressive. And that's kind of the mark of a team that can't make a run. I mean, if you can go into other people's buildings and beat them to sleep, then that's obviously a good thing. LSU's rolling right now, though.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that can do that, LSU beat Ole Miss and Oxford by 14, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
And Ole Miss is pretty good this year. They beat Arkansas easily.
We have to go back to the LSU-Missouri game, too. What was it, a 12-point lead, 14-point lead that Missouri blew in, like, what, the last 2 minutes of regulation and then lost in overtime? But they lost in overtime by six. So that's not a great seven-minute stretch.
Man, so, you know, sometimes we joke around a little bit about, like, torches and pitchforks and stuff. I honestly believe if Arkansas would have done that against even Missouri, like if they would have had a 14-point lead against Missouri with 2 minutes left and then lost, I mean, I think you might have had a situation at Bud Walton Arena where the authorities have to be.
People are riding. They'll have to play the next game in Barnhill because Bud burned down.
burned down Bud Walton Arena. But yeah, how do you do that? I mean, I know, Kwanzo, this is only what, his second season at Missouri? He's had a lot of speed bumps. I mean, he just can't catch a break.
Oh my God, yeah. So, yeah, he's in his second season. His first season, his lottery pick plays, what, 2 minutes? And then the next season starts,
his
brother. The lottery pick's brother tears his knee up.
Man, I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's just, you shake your head. It's like, man, talk about bad luck.
Sometimes the only thing you can do when you see absurd things is laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel for him. And who is it? Did they play without the Mark Smith kid, the kid that lit Arkansas up for a bunch of threes the other night? They may have played without him the other night, but they were still ahead.
14-point lead.
Still ahead, So you can't – that's not the excuse. I don't get it. And the crazy thing is, that's not the wildest thing that's happened at Missouri in the last week after today.
Oh, yeah.
After today.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that because I don't know enough about it. But
It's football thing.
Yeah.
This is just the basketball podcast.
Yeah, we're not – this isn't a Missouri podcast either. Sorry, Bob.
Bob Holt, University of Missouri alum.
It's an academic school.
But yeah, you know, I just don't see – I was just trying to kind of bring it back to Arkansas. I'm really curious to don't actually want to see how it would go. But man, if Arkansas blew a 14-point lead with two minutes left,
yeah, it's your thinking
at home. Yeah, that would have been. You already have people calling for Mike to get fired. I think they would have started calling for him to get fired immediately,
buddy.
Like, don't wait till the end of the season.
I would have hated to have been on the radio the day after that.
Yeah. But, Arkansas's next opponent, number 19, LSU in Baton Rouge. They're rolling, like we said. They just beat Texas A&M last night, I want to say by 15.
Yeah, beat them by 15.
At A&M?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7-0 in league play.
I mean, they're
– who would have guessed that?
Yeah, I know, and they're beating a bunch of people on the road, too. I mean, they're not just one of those teams that only plays well at home. I mean, they're going into other arenas and beating these guys pretty handily.
You know, this is it's a really talented LSU team. Like, Naz Reid came to Bud and kind of showed people why he's projected to get picked probably in the first two rounds of the draft. And Tremont Waters, I think he's a NBA type guard. Like, he controls things so well. He can score, like we saw last night. Mm-hmm. And even last year when Arkansas went to Baton Rouge and played, Arkansas had their best offensive game, probably one of their top two or three offensive games of the season last year at LSU. I know it was their best offensive game on the road last year, but Tremont Waters went for 27 and 11. So he's like, he's showing you he can score, but he can also hit you with 11 assists on any given night too. So he's really good. The team's really, really talented, and they've got a bunch of, I guess you would call them, role guys that can hurt you too. And they might be playing a little bit inspired too. Because you remember the they had a kid get shot and killed before the season started too. I believe it was before the season started. So they could be, as a team that's got a lot kind of on its shoulders, but they're just kind of smacking everybody around.
Yeah, and you know, last week we talked about last podcast we did was before the Texas Tech game, and we said, you know, all Arkansas has to do is just play the perfect game and play the best game that they have all season, and they almost did.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a chance to win at the end of the game. What do you think they have to do to beat LSU Saturday?
Tremont Waters has to sleep through his alarm. He has to sleep all night, all day and all night. I don't know. Like, I'm not expecting Arkansas to win. I think you have to – I think that matchup zone might be the answer, maybe a little bit. Like, if – I don't know if you pressure LSU in the backcourt, because Tremont Waters is so good at single-handedly, like, bringing the ball up the floor and controlling the pace of the game. But I think if you get it into a half-court game – and you go to that matchup zone, and maybe you can control him – a little bit better. And like Mike said today, I think Eric Hill asked Mike, like, what the matchup zone's done, and it allows everybody to be in pretty good position. Like, you've got three guys around the rim, one guy covers pretty much like the short corner and the corner areas, and then Dan kind of patrols the middle of the lane to the free throw line, and the guards are going to have to pressure a little bit, but not too much. I think they just got to do a little bit, like, in the half court, they have to be a little bit like Georgia Tech was when they came to Fayetteville. Like, their length up top in that zone is not what Arkansas's is. Like, Arkansas's got pretty good length up top, I feel like. I think Mike said you can kind of constrict, you can make everything more, a little bit more compact. And that would, I think, limit a little bit of what Naz Reid did when LSU came here, stepped out and hit four threes, because all of those came on switches when you're playing man. So I think if you make the offensive end for them a little bit more compact, I think it could maybe limit some things LSU does offensively. They're the best team in the league, or I think second best in the league in terms of offensive efficiency. So they're third according to KenPom. They play at the fastest pace. They crash the offensive glass. Get to the line a lot, don't get a lot of their shots blocked, so they're really efficient. I mean, all that stuff leads to being really efficient. That was a long way of saying I don't know.
Well, you know, you were talking about Naz Reid. You know, he was 4 for 4 from three. I mean, this was a few weeks ago. I feel like every time he made one of those threes, he was just wide open because Arkansas was just not expecting.
Yeah, there's no communication on the switches. Yeah,
and there was no. You don't expect a guy with his size to be able to just drain threes like that.
Yeah, nice touch, though.
You're not expecting it. But it's like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me four times.
Yeah.
It's like they never adjusted. So maybe after seeing what he can do, they won't get, you know, fooled again.
So get this. He hit four threes at Arkansas, hit 4 of 4 from deep. Mm-hmm. He is 0 for 1, 3, 1 for 4. He is 2 for his last 8 since. And the last time he hit 4 threes, he'd done it once before. It was against UNC Greensboro. So something about Arkansas just always gets the best out of folks.
I don't know. Bud Walton is just seems like it can be a tough place to play. It can also be a very friendly arena to opposing shooters. I feel like there's a game every year where somebody comes in, they just can't miss from 3.
Yeah. And I think there's a little extra motivation playing Dan too. Like, he wanted to show folks that he's like, there were a lot of NBA scouts in the arena that day. I think there were 10 plus, and a lot of them were there to see Dan. He's like, hey, I can go show out too.
Yeah.
I think he's a projected top 50 pick too. He's really good, but it is crazy how he can just go berserk from deep against Arkansas. And then he goes 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 1 for 1, 1 for 4, and then he didn't even take one against Texas A&M. Like, it's, and he missed 9 of his 11 shots against A&M. I don't understand it. It's a matchup deal, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Just bad luck. Well, we'll see what Naz Reid has to offer Saturday as Arkansas takes on number 19 LSU in Baton Rouge. 5 p.m. on the SEC Network. We'll have coverage on wholehogsports.com. Scotty and I will be back next week. We'll talk about the game at LSU and Arkansas's next game in Fayetteville is Tuesday against
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. Right. One of those 8 p.m. tips that we all love.
Mm-hmm. But another winnable home game. They've got two winnable games next week. I think they've got to get. It's Vandy at home and at South Carolina.
South Carolina.
You've got to win those.
I mean, I think that could be a road game that they can steal. South Carolina's kind of an enigma this season. They started off non-conference really poorly, and then they started beating a bunch of – once conference play started, they started playing a lot better.
Yeah, they've lost three of their last four, but they've played some decent teams. Like, they lost to LSU, beat Auburn. They beat Auburn.
Yeah, it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, and then lost to Oklahoma State and Tennessee back-to-back. They play – see, Vanderbilt plays Georgia on Saturday – on the road, so that'll probably be a loss. Georgia seems to play well at home somehow. Like, they hung 98 points on Texas the other day.
Yeah, they just
turned the ball over 26 times and hung 98 points. That's really hard to do. So that's a tough team to figure out. But yeah, I think Arkansas's got it. They've got to beat Vanderbilt and South Carolina next week. I think it's kind of in my eyes anyway. It's like a foregone conclusion. Arkansas's not going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
But I think you win both of those games next week. I think you're setting yourself up to maybe get on a little bit of a run, to maybe host the NIT. You know, that a lot of people don't want to hear that. But then you get Missouri on the road. That's another winnable home game, as LSU showed us. You don't have to be leading in the last 2 minutes to beat them. and they get Mississippi State at home. That Mississippi State game is a little bit of a resume booster. I think they've spent some time in the top 25, and they're 26, ranked 26 on KenPom. So it'll be a pretty good team.
They could have a chance. Like we said, we don't predict them to beat LSU, but after that, they have a chance to maybe string some wins together. We shall see. There's only a few more weeks left in the season,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, like we said. An NIT, hosting the NIT, probably about the ceiling for this team.
Yeah, I think so. 12 and 8 right now. Like, this is a time when Arkansas can get on one of those runs, but none of the teams that we feel like they should beat are going to be like resume builders.
Right.
Like, losing or winning at South Carolina's, like, it'd be great, but it's not going to do much for your NCAA tournament hopes. Winning at Missouri's not either. Like, you'd have to win at Auburn and then I don't know, they play at Kentucky too and at Vanderbilt. Like, you'd have to win those three too.
Mm-hmm.
Three also to like get in the conversation, I think. And you'd have to take care of business in the other games. I just don't think there's a way that happens.
I'm with you, man, but hey, we can't see the future. Who knows?
February's Mike's month too.
Maybe Arkansas is about to go on a 7 or 8 game win streak. We don't know.
I will say, like, Mike Kaywood had a stat. I think he said Arkansas wins like 65% of their games in February. Mm. Under Mike?
I can't remember.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear him say that. But over the last 5 years, they're 29-11 in February.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they seem to kind of take off. And like, I feel like you kind of get your bearings that first month of conference play. And then that second month, you're kind of, okay, I know what to expect now. And I think that could be the case for some of the freshmen, some of the guys who haven't played a whole lot. I think that could definitely be the case.
Absolutely.
They could get them into some games too. Like, they're playing, like, they're settled and confident and connected. I feel like they could play above their heads a little bit. But I keep going back to, it's not a tournament team. Like, they're playing to host an NIT, I think. And that's an awful place to be, like, at the beginning of February, January was a rough month, and you kind of put yourself in this spot now where kind of like slow starts in games.
Mm-hmm.
It had a slow start to conference.
Oh, yeah. Starting 1-4.
Yeah.
That's no way to start. But, you know, I think after the way they played at Texas Tech, and they've already played as LSU previously this season, I don't think this team is going to be, you know, shell shocked or anything.
Yeah,
I think
they're not going to be surprised by anything LSU does. Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was close.
Yeah. Thing is, though, like, LSU knows what Arkansas is going to do. And Tremont Waters has been really good against Arkansas in his career. I think he's got, I think he was, he's had double doubles, I think, the last two times he's played Arkansas. And the first time he played was last year in conference play when they just beat Arkansas by like 20 here.
Yeah.
And that was one of the dullest, that was one of the dullest games I've ever seen. He had 8-8. So he's like, didn't get a double double, but he's right there.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of success against them.
Well, we shall see if the Razorbacks can stop Tremont Waters and the LSU Tigers. 5 o'clock Saturday, SEC Network. Like I said, we'll have full coverage on WholeHogSports.com. But until next week, this is the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We're with Whole Hog Sports. Thanks for listening.